89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Well, thank you very much, Wendy, and welcome back to The Drive Time. My guest in the studio for your, it's Wednesday, folks, so Rob Washburn is in the studio. He's a professor of e-journalism at Loyalist College. And joining us in the studio today is Marcia Jones from the Kawartha Pine Ridge District School Board. She is the president of the Occasional Teachers. She's part of the East Elementary Teachers Federation of Ontario. So in honor of her visit, we have a wonderful track by Johnny Mathis coming up, one of my personal favorites, and we'll be back to discuss what's happening with education in Ontario, especially at the elementary level. Here's Johnny Mathis.
Teacher, teacher, there's so much I'm longing to know, 'cause my heart has been all aglow from the moment we met. Teacher, make me, make me, make me the teacher's pet. Teacher, teacher, educate me with a caress. Teach me nothing less than a lesson I'll never forget. Teacher, make me, make me, make me the teacher's pet. I read more in your loving eyes than in any book from the shelf. I don't have to tell you you're in a class by yourself. Kiss me, kiss me. After that, please kiss me again. Show me all that special attention you'll never regret. 'Cause I'll do my homework diligently till we're both at least 103. Teacher, hold me, kiss me, make me the teacher's pet. Shelf. I don't have to tell you you're in a class all by yourself. Kiss me, kiss me. After that, please kiss me again. Show me all that special attention you'll never regret. 'Cause I'll do my homework diligently till we're both at least 103. Teacher, hold me, kiss me, make me the teacher's pet. Show me that you love me. Oh, teacher, make me yours.
Well, teacher, teacher, Johnny Mathis, 1958, and Rob's sitting here going, I've never heard that song before in my life. Marcia Jones is my guest. Marcia, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Very glad to have you here in the studio today. We're going to be talking about the Elementary Teachers Federation of Ontario, your role with KPR as the Occasional Teacher President. Can you give us a little background on exactly what you do?
My work is usually communicating with members about issues that are happening and about resources that they can use in the classroom. We run a lot of professional learning workshops for occasional teachers to assist them in the work that they do, which is very challenging, excuse me, to enter a class, maybe a different one each day, and try to carry on the programs as if the teacher hadn't left.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about occasional teachers here, listeners. So we're talking about temps for the most part, right?
Yes.
We're not talking about someone who's just filling in for a day here and there, are we? Or
yes, it could be filling in for a day. It could be for a longer term. Some of them would be a complete year if a person was ill or on a maternity leave. And, of course, sometimes you go in for what you think is one day and end up being there for months at a time.
Right. Well, as I say, I was talking to a woman recently, or actually my wife was talking to a woman recently who has a friend who teaches in Orono, and she's had that situation where she's been placed into a situation, she's working away, and then she finds out 9 days later that the posting's over. And so again, the issue of income and job security really does play into this particular realm of teaching.
Absolutely. Within 5 days, you can be notified that your job is terminated. And from the point of view of the contract teachers, that's a good thing. For example, if they have an illness and they recover more quickly than anticipated and come back before their expected time, that's great. Sometimes their illness is of an invisible nature, could be a mental health issue or whatever, and they've been assisted and able to get back to the classroom earlier than expected. Also, they could come back part-time, and though this is a decrease in income for the occasional teacher, it's very positive that the continuity is maintained with staff and that the returning teacher has the support of another teacher in the classroom.
Right. How many members do you have locally?
687.
And what that's for the entire board?
Yes.
So that would be an area
north of Pine Ridge.
So how big is that area then?
It extends from almost Trenton to Curtis and north to Apsley.
Wow. So that's a pretty huge area.
Yes.
Now, I got to ask real quickly before we get into the real meat and potatoes of this. We're talking about occasional teachers. Is there a difference between a supply teacher and an occasional teacher, or is that, in fact, the same thing?
That's the same
thing. Okay. Just wanted to clarify that for the listeners. Go ahead, Rob.
So one of the things that we've been following, obviously, in the news in the last couple of months has been job action by a number of teachers in other boards of education, high school, which is different than what you're used to. I'm just wondering if you could maybe give us a bit of a summary from your perspective as to what's been unfolding over the last few months in terms of what's been taking place.
Okay. The new rules regarding contract negotiations have changed within the province. And at the table, it includes representatives of the Ontario Public School Boards Association and whichever federation is negotiating. For our members, it would be the Elementary Teachers Federation of Ontario. The groups that have been on strike action, full withdrawal of services, have been the Secondary School Teachers Federation of Ontario. The issues that caused their strike were local bargaining issues. I am not a party of any of the boards that were on strike. The strikes were deemed illegal because some of the signs that they were carrying referenced provincial issues.
Mm-hmm.
For example, class size caps, which is a huge issue for all teachers. The problem from the perspective that I have heard, and I am not at the provincial table, is that Ontario Public School Boards Association introduced strips in February, which, when you're negotiating, both sides often start with a very, with perspectives of things that they want but may not be really what they anticipate getting.
Mm-hmm.
You're very far apart when you begin, but through discussions, you come to an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't appear to be happening. There has been no movement on the part of OPSPA to remove the strips that they are requesting.
So there's really two things that are going on. I think this is really important for people to understand. There's two things going on. There's these groups negotiating provincially, but there's been some local disputes, and that's what has taken place. There's still ongoing negotiations across the province. So there's a possibility that unless there's a contract reached come the fall, this could affect our area then.
Oh, definitely. It's my understanding that with the Elementary Teachers Federation, there are no negotiations happening at this time provincially. Locally, I have been involved personally in negotiations with Kawartha Pine Ridge, and we are making progress.
So what would that mean then if you were successful, say, in getting a contract before September? Well, how would that roll out in local schools?
We could not have a contract that included only local issues. There has to be agreement on the provincial issues as well as the local issues before any contract can be signed.
So what you're saying is there's two levels of negotiation going on. These provincial negotiations that are taking place on big issues like size of classes, that kind of thing. And then there's local issues where the disputes are taking place. And those are the things that you're involved with that are progressing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, this is obviously new, right, to negotiations, the fact that you've got to negotiate local issues as well as provincial issues.
Yes.
How long has that been in place?
Since 2012.
Really?
Yes. It has been brought into legislation. This is the first round in which we've been employing this pattern. Now, the government is at the table as a third party. It's my understanding that to this point, they haven't involved themselves in the negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps that's why the Minister of Education is perplexed.
Why is that significant, that the province is a third party at these Can you explain the significance of that?
Well, the provincial government holds the purse strings. Mm-hmm. It's they who determine how much money each Board of Education receives. And to me, it would seem that they would have a much larger role than the school boards.
Well, one would assume anyway, right? I mean, now, how many people, I'm going to assume, and again, you know what happens when you assume, listeners, but I'm going to throw it out there that most people, most parents out there are not aware of the fact that when you're negotiating, it's not just, you know, the union and the province, it's the union, the school board, and the province. And adding that other layer, if you will, that bureaucratic crush, I mean, obviously that's going to throw a wrench in the negotiations, especially if the province has a very specific goal and the teachers have a specific goal, but the board looks at them and goes, we don't care about your goals. These are our concerns.
Absolutely.
I mean, how much longer does that mean to the negotiation process?
Oh, it's a huge impact. The first thing that had to be decided was what things would happen or be discussed at the provincial table and what things could be discussed at the local table.
Mm-hmm.
A very basic explanation is that anything that costs money is negotiated at the provincial table.
Right.
Not that money is the big issue for teachers currently, and the progress that we're making at the local table is significant, and I don't mean to belittle that at any point because that's really important for
Can you give us an idea of what some of those local issues would be?
Often there are things that affect the working conditions of our members but don't cost money. Now, I can't discuss things that are currently
obviously
on the table, but it could be in the past. We have been able to allow occasional teachers or supply teachers to follow the timetable of the teacher they replace. So if the teacher they're replacing has preparation time, that gives the occasional teacher time to prepare for the next class, or it could be to mark work that they've already taught, or to do professional research. That was a huge factor. Also, we have been able to determine that when you go into a class for a day, you're not piled with every supervision duty that exists. You have the duties that the teacher who would normally be in the classroom would have on that day.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we see unfold when these labor disputes take place is the impact on the students themselves. And a lot is made in the media about the impact on students and on parents. What is the perspective of the union when they're looking at all these things unfold? And a lot of people get hostile about the fact that, you know, they're being inconvenienced and there's this impact upon the students.
Well, the Elementary Teachers Federation has been very careful in their strike action in that it does not affect the children on a day-to-day basis. One of the huge impacts of this work to rule has been the removal of the EQAO test for the standardized testing that takes place in grade 3 and 6. the joy that the teachers are experiencing because they're able to teach children, not prepare them for a test, has been absolutely phenomenal. These kids are learning and exploring and enjoying the days in their classroom, whereas often at this time of year, the stress is an incredible high level.
Mm-hmm. Why does that take place? Maybe not everybody understands what these tests are about, and would you just give us a bit of background about the tests and why they have this kind of impact?
Some people feel that testing a child on one day at a particular time gives an evaluation of how the child is progressing. The tests that are doing are pencil and paper tests, which does not follow the expectations of teaching children these days. You probably notice that when the test results are released, the schools are ranked according to the test results. You consider yourself, if you were taking a test on a day in which you felt unwell, your results may not reflect your abilities at all. The tests are the same test given to every student in grade 3 in the province of Ontario, and you know that their environments and their experiences vary significantly mm-hmm. from place to place and family to family. Teachers should, according to legislation, be given the authority to decide which assessments are appropriate for which of their students, and their professional judgment in regards to the standardized testing is just removed from the mix.
Right. Well, you know what? On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to pay some bills, but we're going to be right back with more of Consider This Live. My guest is Marcia Jones. She is the president of the Elementary Teachers Federation of Ontario. She is the president for Occasional Teachers for Kawartha Pine Ridge District School Board. We'll be right back.
Monday.
And welcome back to The Drive Time here on Northumberland 89.7. My guest is Marcia Jones, and also joining me in the studio is Rob Washburn, our regular contributor. He's my co-host on Wednesdays, for those of you that haven't tuned in before. We're talking about the Elementary Teachers Federation of Ontario. We're speaking with Ms. Jones. She is from the Kawartha Pine Ridge District School Board. She's president of the Occasional Teachers Union.
Yes. Okay. Actually, I'm not employed by the school board. I'm employed by the Elementary Teachers
Federation.
Right. Yes.
Well, one thing that always comes, I mean, I talked to people a lot when I was running the coffee shop, and we talked about temporary teachers and supply teachers. And I talked to a number of people who were retired teachers, former teachers, who are now working as occasional teachers or supply teachers. And there was always the issue raised when we were speaking about the idea that, you know, retired teachers are taking up all the work for young teachers who can't get into the business. And that's not the case, though, is it?
No, we have, out of 687 occasional teachers in Kawartha Pine Ridge, 11 of them are retired teachers. And you have to consider that for those retired teachers, they have different life circumstances as mm-hmm. well. One person I know who was required to retire because of her age had not taught for a long number of years, so her pension is less than $300 a month. She's teaching to put food on the table. Others, well, I am a retired teacher. I retired and gave a full-time job to someone else and found that I missed it so terribly that I came back as an occasional teacher, and now I'm working for the Federation, and I'm doing it because I love it. Another issue in the occasional teacher local is that everyone starts their career as a teacher currently as an occasional teacher. They become part of the local activities. They become versed in the issues and prepared to work on behalf of their colleagues. And then they get a contract job, which is the goal of 90% of our members.
Right.
Well, I'm curious to start talking about the fall and what can parents and children, both in elementary and in high school, expect when they come back in the fall?
Well, I don't have any specific information, but I do know that all of the teacher unions, which would include the elementary teachers, the secondary teachers, the Catholic teachers, and the French school boards, are having the same difficulties at the central table. They have talked about a variety of things, extending the work to rural to include other activities that they're not doing. It could be rallies in different places. You perhaps have noticed that there have been rallies at the Liberal Convention last week. This coming week, there are going to be rallies at the OPSPA Convention, which is the Ontario Public School Boards Association. And in previous years, we have been to the grounds of the legislature to protest. And I don't know the specifics of their plan. I do know that the work to rule that is currently happening in Kawartha Pine Ridge and all of the other school boards in Ontario is really reducing the amount of work available to occasional teachers. The teachers are not participating in professional learning activities, which are funded through ministry initiatives. So, for example, day-long workshops have been canceled. Occasional teachers who are booked to cover classrooms have had their jobs canceled for those days. Some people currently are worried that they will not fulfill the hours required for them to get employment insurance over the summer. They don't know from day to day if they'll be able to have enough days of work to pay for their living expenses.
So very difficult, obviously, especially if you're a supply or occasional worker. What are the other things that brings to mind immediately when we talk about labor strife? First of all, I should let the listeners know, I mean, there really hasn't been a pay increase for teachers for probably seven years, I think.
Yes, that's correct.
You guys were asked to take a freeze.
Actually, we took the elementary teachers took a salary penalty of 2%, which was restored last September.
Right. So there's that issue. But the other side of the coin, of course, is that the biggest struggle for the Teachers Federation, whatever the elementary, secondary, French, what have you, is this idea of keeping parents on side when you have labor disputes. Because, of course, for parents out there, I mean, a lot of parents don't want their kids' education to be affected, but a lot more people are more concerned about the fact that they've got to now hire other caregivers because, like it or not, the teaching profession is seen by probably too many people as daycare. And really, you're sending your kid to school, and if there's a job action or if there is no school, oh my goodness, you guys are now costing me money. So it's got to be a fine line you walk.
Absolutely it is. And research has suggested that parents trust their child's teacher, but they have no trust for the union. And the union bashing is taking place within this country and, well, I guess throughout North America, really.
Yep.
People forget that it was because of unions that we have a weekend. We have a defined work day. We have benefits. And I know not every job has benefits. And I don't mean to belittle anyone else who isn't so lucky. But when workers get together and fight for their rights, it improves the working conditions for everyone in the community. Also, jobs that pay well allow people to support the community in living and spending in the area. And, you know, there are so many things to look at. We do not take any action that would affect parents in a light manner. It's discussed very, very strongly. Before any action.
Well, as we've seen in the past, it's always sort of a last resort, right?
Absolutely.
It's not the first step taken.
Well, and you consider that teachers are not earning any money if they're on a full withdrawal. Well, actually, I guess we would earn $50 a day if there was a full withdrawal of services.
One of the critical issues that is facing the union is class size. And I'm wondering if you could explain to us very simply why that is an issue and why it's so important to go to this extent for.
I can speak only to my experience in the elementary classrooms, but I think it would be similar in any classroom. The children today are coming, in many cases, with a lot more issues than we ever considered having when we came to school. And I don't know the reason for that. The behaviors are very different from what we experienced. And some classes are finding that the children who are having difficulties are taking all of their time and effort to assist them. This may have more to do with the special education plan that's been in place. But if you have 20 youngsters with whom you are working in a day, you can give each of them more time than if you had 30. I remember 100 years ago when I started teaching, I had 39 children in a grade 3 classroom. But the behaviors were not outlandish. There was a higher expectation for the children to show respect for adults, for one thing. Mm-hmm. And if there was an issue at the school and you contacted home, you worked together. In many cases now, and I don't mean, again, to paint everyone with the same brush, if there is a difficulty with a child at school,
it's the teachers
often said, what did you do to cause them to act this way? Mm-hmm. It's kind of sad. And yet, there are classes and there are children who are wonderful. And for my last few years in teaching, I worked in special education. Of course, every time I started a new grade, that was my favorite. But I just loved working with those kids. Once they developed confidence in themselves, they knew they weren't stupid, that they learned differently, they would do anything for you. And these are the type of kids who, if you had a job that you wanted to give to someone, because of the efforts that they have put forward and the challenges they have overcome, you'd pick them as mm-hmm. an employee.
Well, now they have a situation now where I think you have to evacuate the classroom if you've got a problem child. All the other kids are taken out of the room. The problem child is left in the room by themselves to calm down or do whatever it is. But now you've disrupted the entire rest of the classroom. And as you said, it's more than 20 kids. I mean, I think the average now is like probably closer to 30, right?
Well, it depends on the community. The class sizes are based on an average across the board. Mm-hmm. So it could be that one school has a large class in grade 3 and another school has a smaller one. But the situation that you described of evacuating the class is not a really common one, but it does exist. Mm-hmm. I know that in a couple of our KPR schools, when the class has been evacuated, the student who is having difficulties just trashes the classroom, which includes a lot of very expensive technological equipment.
Mm-hmm. So how does one deal with that? I mean, you're an occasional teacher. You're placed into a classroom with a group of kids. You expect them to be somewhat respectful, or as respectful as kids are these days anyway. And you have this situation. And, I mean, how do you deal with that?
Well, usually in classes like that, there are support workers with you, educational assistants mm-hmm. or child and youth workers.
But we're seeing those numbers being diminished now. I mean,
this
provincial government is talking about doing away with a large number of those people.
That is going to be a critical situation. Keep in mind that teachers cannot touch children.
Right.
You can't put your arms around a child and prevent them from hurting themselves or hurting someone else.
Mm-hmm. Or yourself.
Yes. Educational assistants and child and youth care workers are taught safe ways to restrain a child, mm-hmm. but you have to wait. If the personnel are not in your classroom all the time, you have to call them or call the office, and they have to be brought to the classroom.
And the threat of being sent to the principal's office really is a hollow threat these days then, right?
Well, the principals are so busy, they don't have time to deal with, you know, one-on-one mm-hmm. behavior issues at the drop of a hat.
Absolutely. We're going to take another quick break, folks. We'll be right back with more of my conversation. You're listening to The Drive Time right here on Northumberland 89.7. Joining me is Martha Jones from the Kawartha Pinerange District School Board. She's president of the Occasional Teachers Unit, I guess, of the Elementary Teachers Federation of Ontario. And, of course, Rob Washburn is here. It is Wednesday, after all. This is Consider This Live. Welcome back to The Drive Time. I'm your host, Dave Glover. You're listening to Northumberland 89.7, by the way, truly local radio. If you want to send us a message, you can send me a comment on Twitter if you're following us on Twitter, at Legant66. You can also follow the station at Truly Local 897. Send us an email at northumberland897.ca or follow us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/Northumberland89.7. Joining me in the studio is Marcia Jones of the Kawartha Pinerange District School Board. We're talking about occasional teachers. We're talking about the Elementary Teachers Federation of Ontario as well. And my co-host, as always, Rob Washburn. Welcome back to the show, folks.
I had a question about the job action. I understand that they're having some impact on report cards. Could you explain what's going on?
Okay, normally teachers work on report cards on a computer system that is responsible or provided by the government, and they enter marks and comments on these reports. Through the job action, they are providing the marks based on assessments that have been done throughout the year, but they are not inputting the data onto the computer program. They're providing the marks to the principal. It would be a numerical mark in some areas and a letter grade in others, but they are not doing the data entry. So to me, it emphasizes the amount of clerical work that teachers do. I look back to the report cards I received where they had marks and perhaps a sentence. I survived well. Parents are continuing, and teachers, to communicate with each other. They will not have marks. Another aspect of the work to rule is that parents and teachers are expected to communicate during the school day. That can still happen electronically. But in some boards, they're having a real problem of finding someone to enter this information to provide report cards.
Right.
It's my understanding, though, that the provincial government was asked to provide money to get people, to hire people to do the data entry, and that has been turned down.
Yes, that was reported today.
Now, I also understand that we've talked about class size as being one of the provincial issues. I understand that there's a number of others. Could you maybe tell us a bit about those issues and what they mean?
Okay. The teachers currently have 240 minutes of preparation time during a week. This is during the school day, and the teachers determine what is done during that time. It could include things like planning for the different needs of different students in your class. It could be communicating with parents, marking work. The provincial negotiators want to have control over the preparation time. So someone other than the teacher would decide what has to be done at that time. They want to increase the supervision time of teachers. Specifically, they want to be able to give an occasional teacher who's coming into the school any amount of supervision duty.
Can you tell us what do you mean by supervision duty?
Thanks.
It could be yard duty. It could be supervising while the children eat lunch. It could be supervising children who are doing extra research at break time, or it could be covering children getting safely to the buses.
Okay.
So all of these are duties that are given to teachers on a daily basis.
Okay. Because I mean, I just remember when I was in public school, and I'm almost 50 now, folks, so when I was in public school, when the teachers I spoke to who monitored the lunchroom, for instance, that kind of rotated throughout the week who that teacher was going to be. And I think they just decided at the beginning of the month who was going to work this day,
oh, yes,
or whatever. Is that pretty much the same way it's done
yes,
now?
Yes, it is. With the balance day, which means that there's 100 minutes of instruction in most of our schools. There's a 40-minute nutrition break followed by another 100-minute instruction and another 40-minute nutrition break. So during the day, there would have to be someone on the yard to greet the children in the morning. There would have to be someone to supervise the children while they're eating lunch, someone to supervise the children while they're outdoors or involved in other activities, and someone to supervise the departure of the students at the end of the day. So that does take place.
It just doesn't seem like a lot. That doesn't really, I mean, for me, it doesn't come across as a teacher's responsibility. I don't know. Maybe that.
Oh,
for me, I think that would be an administrator's responsibility. Why isn't the principal or vice principal or maybe clerical
staff doing that? In some schools, the principal is out every day as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I was one of the strange people who loved doing outdoor yard duty because you got to meet the children in a different light. Another thing that the government is talking about is eroding the sick leave for teachers. Last round of negotiations, they eliminated all sick leave banks. Some people had not used sick leave, so had over a year of credit, which previously would have been paid out as a retirement gratuity.
Right.
But now it just disappears.
Do they get a cash payout then for those sick days if they've accumulated a year's worth?
Not anymore.
So there's nothing?
No. No.
So being a diligent employee then has no benefit?
That's correct.
Because I mean, that's what it tells me. If you don't take sick days, I mean, I don't know anybody who's never taken a sick day, but if you have the opportunity, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The class size protection we've talked about mm-hmm. a lot. And the kindergarten program has changed recently. It's been just this year that every school has full-day kindergarten. And in those classes, there's a teacher and an early childhood educator. And, of course, we're just becoming comfortable in the relationships that exist among these. And the government is proposing to change the role of the early childhood educators, that they could be removed from the kindergarten class and given responsibility in another area of the school. So
what would that be, for example, when you talk about another area of responsibility?
Well, these early childhood educators are very knowledgeable about child development and about working with our youngest students. But they could be called if their assistance is needed in another class. They could be assigned to work with another student beyond the kindergarten environment.
So made to be an EA, for instance, in a grade
yes.
4 class.
Could be, yes.
Which
mm-hmm.
is not.
We don't know exactly what their plans are.
Well, again, it's the ambiguity of what's coming down the road. I think it's the fear of the unknown. But the idea that you would take early childhood educators who are specifically hired and trained to deal with the youngest students and move them into an EA position to work with grades 4, 5, 6, or even, you know, higher, it just, I don't know, it just seems to me like they're being hired under false pretense if that's the case.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other issues that?
One issue I don't think I talked about is the reduction of the amount of work for occasional teachers. Did we discuss that?
No, please elaborate.
Okay. With the work to rule, contract teachers are not at this point taking part in professional learning activities that are tied to ministry initiatives so that the funding comes from the Ministry of Education. So occasional teachers have less access to work because they were covering for these teachers to be involved in these activities.
Do occasional teachers also take part in professional development or professional activity days?
No. Well, they could if they if there was room in an event that was planned for teachers, but they are not paid to do that.
Okay.
The local provides a number of professional learning activities beyond the school day for occasional teachers. And we also fund part of, it could be a course or professional materials to assist occasional teachers to improve their teaching practice.
So it sounds to me, and maybe I'm out of line here, but I'm getting the impression that being an occasional teacher, being a supply teacher, is sort of the first rung on the teacher ladder. And if they keep making that ladder shorter and shorter, I mean, getting to the first rung becomes nearly impossible for someone who's getting out of, I mean, you've graduated from teacher's college. The only way you're going to get a contract is to work as an occasional or supply teacher. That's how you get your foot in the door. But it seems to me that the door is harder and harder to open every year, especially with the way the provincial government's going with their funding model and then the boards themselves. I mean, how do you guys even wrap your head around that?
Okay. Well, in 2012, I think it was, the government imposed legislation which was called Regulation 274, which required teachers to enter a board as an occasional teacher.
Mm-hmm.
After 10 months of employment, you could be added to the long-term occasional list, which allowed you to apply for positions that would extend beyond 10 days. And if you were on the LTO list, you could apply to contract positions. If there is a position posted, the boards are required to interview the top 5 most senior occasional teachers who are qualified for that position. If they do not pass the interview, the school board can go to a selection of occasional teachers. The occasional teachers that are included in the next round must be qualified, but there is no consideration of experience or seniority in that round of hiring. So it's very, very difficult. The interview process has escalated in the amount of knowledge that has to be presented beyond teaching expertise. They're looking to see that you can work as part of a team, that you can express yourself well. If you are applying to French positions, part of the interview is conducted in French. And hopefully these are getting amazing people into the classroom. But I know of people who contact me, though I don't have any authority in this area, for hints on getting, first of all, onto the occasional teacher list after they have spent a minimum of 5 years in post-secondary education. And come September, teacher education is going to require a 2-year program following your basic degree.
Wow. So we've definitely come a long way from the 1970s where anybody could be a teacher. I mean, I remember my shop teacher in the late 70s, early 80s. I mean, here was a guy who was a contractor. And in the 70s, they were crying for teachers. Yes. And so he became a shop teacher. Mm-hmm. He didn't go to teacher's college. He became a shop teacher.
Yes.
And I mean, we had a number of, there were other teachers like that as well. I mean, I had a history teacher who ended up becoming a history teacher because he re-educated himself. But when he started off, he, you know, former university professor, was my grade 4 teacher. She was a York University retiree. So we've definitely come a long way from that time.
Yes.
Are we graduating too many teachers, do you think?
We have been, definitely. Mm-hmm. The estimate is that there are 35,000 qualified teachers within the province of Ontario who do not have a job.
That would reduce class sizes to, what, 10? if all those people got a job.
Yes, but then we'd have to pay for them.
Mm-hmm.
We teachers are taxpayers, too.
Well, I'm going to raise some of this, an issue that's out in British Columbia, not an issue that's affecting you, but I want to throw this at you anyway because I can. The provincial government, as you know, has been ordered by the courts out there to deal with class sizes in British Columbia. And we've seen another round of cuts to the provincial government with regards to education. But what we've also seen is this idea that they're now funding private schools using public dollars. And I just wanted to get your opinion on that. I mean, is Ontario headed in that same direction where we're going to see the private schools start to get funding from the provincial government?
That has not been hinted by any of the sources with which I have contact.
Mm-hmm.
Consider, though, that in the private schools, they can decide who will be accepted to their school. So many do not accept children with learning difficulties.
Mm-hmm. Behavior issues.
Behavior issues, mental health issues. It's, I guess for some people, it provides a valuable education, but you're not really part of the community or the real world. Yes.
Thank you. My words, not hers, folks. Again, I just wanted to throw that out to get your impression on that, because when I read that yesterday, that the provincial government was going to, what they're going to do is allow, first of all, that private schools to be tax exempt. That's the first thing. And the other thing they're talking about doing is introducing direct funding from the provincial legislature to private schools. And I thought, you know, you've got an education system out there that's in turmoil. Class sizes are a huge issue. And again, that's all about money being spent, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's really what we're talking about here. If we've got this many teachers that have graduated and we could have class sizes at 10, but are we willing to pay for it?
Yes, but the austerity budget that the provincial government is touting
mm-hmm.
is not good for anyone.
Well, I would agree with you on that one. Rob, you got a last question?
I don't, but I have a comment since we're commenting, is that, you know, we noticed that the Liberals at one time in this province were the education party.
Yeah.
And, you know, complained bitterly about Mike Harris and the way he treated mm-hmm. teachers. And here we come full circle and we wonder, you know, where is the Liberal education party at this time? And as we go into the fall, it'll be interesting to see how all this plays out.
Are teachers being treated the same now as they were under Harris?
Oh, it's getting to that point.
We're not quite there yet, though. We may be on the cusp.
Wait till September.
I want to thank my guests for being here in the studio. Rob Washburn, as always, for Consider This Live.
Thank you.
Marcia Jones from the Kawartha Pine Ridge District School Board. Thank you for the conversation. It was very enlightening. And we're going to close the show with Teacher here on Northumberland 89.7. I'm Dave Glover. Stick around for the Cedar Rail Gang at 7 o'clock.
Teacher, teacher, there's so much I'm longing to know.
'cause my heart has been all aglow from the moment we met. Teacher, make me, make me, make me the teacher's pet. Teacher, teacher, educate me with a caress. Teach me nothing less than a lesson I'll never forget. Teacher, make me, make me, make me the teacher's pet. I read more in your loving eyes than in any book from the shelf. I don't have to tell you you're in a class by yourself. Kiss me, kiss me. After that, please kiss me again. Show me all that special attention you'll never regret. 'Cause I'll do my homework diligently till we're both at least 103. Teacher, hold me, kiss me, make me the teacher's pet. Shelf. I don't have to tell you you're in a class all by yourself. Kiss me, kiss me. After that, please kiss me again. Show me all that special attention you'll never regret. 'Cause I'll do my homework diligently till we're both at least 103. Teacher, hold me, kiss me, make me the teacher's pet. Show me that you love me. Oh, teacher, make me yours. Thank you.